Happy Christmas to everybody.
Happy Christmas.
So, today we will speak on the compassion of a Vaishnava. Obviously, this is connected with the appearance of Lord Jesus Christ. And we will read from the lecture given by Srila Prabhupada in New York City on July 21, 1971. Pancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bheva cha pachitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaur bhaktavinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, text number 6. Atunina Mahamaga, Yathaiva Narakhanara, Nanabrayatan Neyat, Tanmedya Vetum Harmasi. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadev Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Srila Prabhupada speaks. Today I shall speak to you about the glorification of the holy name of God. This was discussed between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami in connection with the Brahmana, who was very fallen and addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, but was saved simply by chanting the holy name. This history is found in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The universal planetary systems are very nicely explained in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Within the universe there are some planets which are hellish. Actually, not only the Bhagavatam, but all religious scriptures contain descriptions of hell and heaven. In Srimad Bhagavatam you can find out where these hellish planets are and how distant they are from this planet, just as you can obtain information from modern astronomy. Astronomers have calculated how far the moon is from here and what the distance is between this planet and the sun. Similarly, the Bhagavatam contains descriptions of the hellish planets. We have experience of different atmospheric conditions even on this planet. It is in the western countries near the North Pole, the climate is different than in India. A little bit. Which is near to the equator. Just as there are differences in atmosphere and living conditions on this planet, there are many planets that have different atmospheres and conditions of life. After hearing description of the hellish planets from Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj said, Atunena mahabhaga yathaiva narakannara nanogra yatnanne yattanne vyakhyatum arhasi. Sir, I have heard from you about the hellish planets. Men who are very sinful are sent to those planets. Parikshit Maharaj is a Vaishnava, a devotee, and a Vaishnava always feels compassion for others' distress. He is very afflicted by the miseries of others. When Lord Jesus Christ presented himself, for instance, he was greatly afflicted by the miserable conditions of the people. Regardless of which country or sect they belong to, all Vaishnavas or devotees, any people who are God conscious or Krishna conscious, are thus compassionate. Therefore, to blaspheme a Vaishnava, a preacher of God's glories, is a great offense. So compassion is the topmost quality of a Vaishnava. Actually, it is explained that by Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, if you love God, then you naturally love everybody who is related to God, and because everybody is related to God, because everybody is God's, you know, sons and daughters, basically, all living entities, God's children, then naturally you love everybody else. And naturally, if you love somebody and that person is suffering, then you feel compassionate. Right? So this is how it is working. Right. So compassion towards everybody in this world, and everybody in this world is suffering, is a feature of love of God. Like that. So the more we develop love for Krishna, then the more we develop also compassion towards others, especially those who are devoid of Krishna consciousness. And there is one specific obstacle which prevents us from developing that compassion. And what is that obstacle? Why are we not feeling compassionate towards others?
False ego.
False ego. What else?
Envy.
Envy. There is a very obvious reason, and that reason is that we ourselves have a lot of problems. Right? So we can feel compassion, which naturally will manifest in desire to help others, only when we completely, once and for all, got rid of all of our problems. Because naturally, I mean, if you're hungry, you know, it is very difficult to think about feeding everybody else, right? First thing you want to do is
feed yourself.
So, and this opportunity to solve all our problems once and for all is given by Krishna. So if we follow Krishna conscious practices, then we mentioned that yesterday, it is guaranteed that we will solve all our problems. And then basically, you know, for as long as we're living in this world, if we don't, you know, help other people to solve their problems, then we'll be bored to death. This is why the Vaishnavas, well, as long as they are in the material world, they're trying their best to give Krishna consciousness to everybody else. And of course, people, they don't really want to accept that, because people are a little mad in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that, he's referring to one instance. There was one man who murdered another man, and he was arrested, and still the judge had a suspicion that this man, you know, he's a little bit mad, and so they wanted to check, because, you know, if that person is kind of mentally ill, then, you know, you cannot really, you know, punish heavily somebody who is mentally ill like that. So the degree of punishment would depend on that. And they, you know, could not really come to any conclusion whether this person is mentally ill or normal. And then they called upon very high-level specialist, one professor of psychiatry. And this professor made, you know, like, spoke to that man, and when he came out, they were, you know, very anxious to know what's the result, and they were asking, so, if that man is mentally ill, or is he normal? And then that professor replied, if you want to release him on the basis of his mental illness, you can do so. And they were wondering what that means, you know, is he ill or not? And he said, he is as much ill as everybody else in this world. Because as long as I live, I never ever came across somebody who is perfectly normal. Like that. So his conclusion was that everybody who is living in this world is mentally ill. Only degrees are different. You know, somebody is a little crazy, somebody is mad, and somebody completely lost it. Like that. And therefore, you know, many times when perfectly sane people come in the association of crazy people, you know, what they speak is not really understood by them. And, you know, for crazy people, sane people appear to be mad, right? And they try to harm sane people. And Lord Jesus Christ, whose example is cited here by Srila Prabhupada, but he was trying his best to, you know, stop the madness of the people around him and bring them to their natural state of consciousness, which is God consciousness. But, you know, it was like, you know, really amazing. He was telling them, you should not kill, right? And then, in effect, they killed him. So that shows how mad people are. And of course, it was a great offense, and that was the end of these people who committed this offense, of course. But actually, Lord Jesus Christ was praying for them. Please forgive them, oh Father, because they don't know what they're doing. Right? So this shows compassion of a Vaishnava. Even though Vaishnava is tortured or killed, he doesn't. Not only he doesn't try to retaliate, but he doesn't even feel grudge towards the people like that, because he understands perfectly that these people are insane like that. You know, when we will come to our natural perfect Krishna consciousness, then we will understand it also like that, that people in this world are mad. Everybody. The only reason we think that most of the people are okay, because, you know, we are not in our mind fully. When we come to our perfect consciousness, we will understand that people are mad. Like that. And, but this is not the reason to kind of ridicule or to look at the people from, you know, above like that, you know, thinking, oh, I'm such a great saint. You know, naturally, you know, it's like a doctor who understands that people are suffering. They do crazy things and they suffer due to that. And naturally, he wants to try and help them. And sometimes, you know, crazy people, they may do even, I mean, people who are not in their mind, they may do wrong things to a doctor as well. But doctor understands, you know, what can be done. These people are, you know, not, they understand what they do. Like my Guru Maharaj gave an example of himself, that he said he was having a surgical operation at one point, already being a devotee for many, many years. And then naturally they kind of put, how do you call it, anesthesia? Yeah, when they put this mask, they put you to sleep. Yeah. Anyway, they put him to sleep, you know, make him breathe this anesthetic, whatever. And he went unconscious. And so they started operating him. And then, you know, actually they somehow miscalculated. And, you know, he came to his senses right in the middle of the operation. And, you know, he said, you know, when he opened his eyes, he couldn't really figure out what was going on. That, you know, everything was kind of blur, you know, foggish. And he just saw, you know, few people above him, you know, just looking right at his face. And their faces were covered with masks. And they were holding, you know, knives in their hands covered with blood. So, and because, you know, from before Krishna consciousness, he had this training, he was actually trained as a ranger. So, you know, and, you know, he was trained to react instantly in the, you know, extreme situations. And so he said, you know, actually without even, you know, thinking, you know, and he was in that dizzy state of mind, he actually, from, you know, immediately punched one of them in the nose, like that. And then, you know, that was the, you know, main surgeon. And then that surgeon, you know, hold his nose, and he said, quickly put mask back on him, and then, so they put him back to sleep. And actually, after everything was over, he could remember, this is what I did. And he, you know, he understood that, you know, he couldn't figure out immediately what was going on, so he punched the doctor. And actually, when that happened, that doctor came into his room, and, you know, he started to apologize, you know, saying that, you know, I'm really sorry, etc. But doctor, actually his nose was kind of, you know, covered with band-aid and stuff. But he said, you know, don't worry, you know, because I understand that it's actually my mistake. We were supposed to calculate properly, you know, to put enough anesthesia. So, and he was not like feeling any grudge like that. So, and he's giving this example, you know, the devotee is like a doctor, so he understands that people are not in their right mind. So if you try to, you know, give them Krishna consciousness, which is for their good, you know, they may do something bad to you. It just means that, you know, somehow, somehow we didn't give them enough anesthesia or something like that. Whatever. So devotees don't feel bad, even if people, you know, do bad things to them. But nevertheless, even though devotee is forgiving any offenses towards him, but Krishna is not. And so Prabhupada explains further, Krishna, God, is never tolerant of offenses committed at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, Kripam Budhi. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy, Vancha Kalpataru. Everyone has desires, but the Vaishnava can fulfill all desires. So basically, this is our aspiration, right? If we want to be a Vaishnava, so be Vaishnavas, then we should have this ability to fulfill desires of everything. Kalpataru means desire tree. There is a tree in the spiritual world called the desire tree. In this material world, you get a particular type of fruit from a particular type of tree, but in Krishna Loka, as well as in all the Vaikuntha planets, all the trees are spiritual and will fulfill all the desires. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakarasana sukalpa vriksham. A Vaishnava is addressed as Mahabhaga, which means fortunate. One who becomes a Vaishnava and is God conscious is understood to be greatly fortunate. One in the universe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that the living entities are rotating in different species of life in different planetary systems all over the universe. A living entity can go anywhere, to hell or heaven, as he likes and as he prepares himself. So you may, you know, wonder how that can be, how one can go to hell according to his liking. Right? Anybody wants to go to hell? I'm sure none of us. But it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody is like that. That actually, you know, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is one very interesting verse as well. Krishna is saying that those who are lowest among men and most mischievous, I cast them down into the hellish species of life. And in the 12th chapter, he is saying that those who are my devotees, I lift them up from the ocean of material existence. And so, you know, if Krishna is partial to everybody, as he states, Samoham Sarvabhutishu, then why he is treating, you know, people differently? That his devotees, you know, he seems to be very partial, right? His devotees, he is lifting them up, and demonic people, he is casting them down into hell, where they suffer. So it seems to be very strange, but the reality is that it is natural. Krishna is only fulfilling everybody's desires. And it may, you know, we may wonder how people may desire to go to hell, but you know, if you think about it, there are many interesting places in London, like nightclubs, for example. And if you go to, you know, any nightclubs, not that we recommend that, but you know, actually, once we were invited, you know, myself and group of devotees, to hold a program to chant in the nightclub and, you know, to explain something about Krishna consciousness. And we did it. But after that, I decided that this is first and last time I'm ever visiting that place, you know, even for preaching's sake. Because it is genuine hell, right? I mean, most of these nightclubs, first of all, they, you know, in the kind of basement, so it is very dark in there, and you know, they have these red lights, you know, blood red lights in the dark, and you know, it is really smoky in there. I mean, they all light their, you know, hellish incense, their cigarettes. So there is a lot of smoke in there, stinky smoke too. And you know, it's also very noisy. They have really mad music playing in there, you know, like real music from hell. So I mean, if you are, you know, in a normal state of consciousness, there is no chance that you will stay in there. So basically what they normally do, I'm sure they do the same thing in here, everybody who enters there, immediately they just give, you know, something, you know, some alcohol to drink, you know, just to, you know, make you completely buzzed up so that you cannot understand what's going on. You don't care where you are, you know. And, you know, giving you like a big glass of beer, something like 1 liter, you know, something. So, you know, these people, they're paying money to go there. I mean, of course, Prabhupada was saying that London is hell. But, you know, there are different degrees. You know, there are more or less hellish places in London itself too, right? So, and what people trying to do, at least some category of people, they're trying to find the, you know, how we call it, helliest or hellishest, you know, the worst hellish place in entire London, right? And to go there to enjoy, and they pay money. So, and Krishna is looking at them, and he's saying, you know, okay, guys, you know, why you have to work so hard to make money to pay to go to hell? You know, I can provide you with free ticket there. You know, you can go there for a long time, and you can stay there, and you can enjoy as much as you want. Because this is what people are looking for. This is, you know, they do everything within their power to get there. So Krishna is only fulfilling their desires to put there in hell. That's all. Like one guy, he was, as most of the people, he was doing good things, he was doing bad things, and then eventually he died, and so he ended up in, the court of Yamaraj. For those who don't know, Yamaraj is the one who is judging everybody who did what and where everybody should go. And then Yamaraj kind of calculated, you know, the records of this man, and he said, you know, you did many good things in your life, and you also did many bad things in your life. So basically, you have to spend some time in hell, and you have to spend some time in heaven as well. But as always, you have free choice, so you can choose where you want to go first, to heaven or hell. And this boy, he was very frightened, and he said, can I please, see both places, have kind of a guided tour? And Yamaraj said, yeah, that's fine, where you want to go first? And the boy said, well, let's go to heavens first. And then somebody took him to heaven, and in there, you know, he saw people, you know, very peaceful, everything quiet, trees, lakes, people sitting under the tree, somebody dozing under the tree, somebody kind of munching up apple, somebody, playing harp, somebody taking bath in the lake. And he just walked around. He thought, well, it's a little strange, you know, looks like this heaven is a little boring place. So, and when he came back to Yamaraj, he said, yeah, I had a look at the heaven, so could I maybe, you know, have a look at the hell also? How things are there like. And Yamaraj said, no problem. You can have a guided tour in hell as well. And so, you know, he was brought to hell, and in there, you know, atmosphere was so lively, it was dark, you know, everything was lit by artificial lights, and all the restaurants and bars were open, and music was on, and, you know, people were kind of cheerful inside there. And so he entered one of the bars, and sure enough, first table, he saw all his friends. You know, and they were like saying, hey, you know, we were waiting for you here, join us here, you know. And they gave him a drink, they gave him eat, they were asking how are you, and he had such a lovely time in there, you know. And when he was brought back to Yamaraj, he said, you know, to hell with this heaven, you know. I better go to hell. And Amaral said, are you sure? He said, yeah. Just go to hell, no problem. My friends are waiting for me there already. We, you know, made an agreement that, you know, I'll come back. And Amaral said, okay, yeah, just take him back and let him stay in there. And so he was brought to hell, and then Yamadutas they grabbed him, you know, very violently, and they brought him to one, you know, big pot with boiling oil, and they started sticking him inside that pot. And he was shouting and screaming, "What's happening? What are you doing? Where is the restroom? Where are my friends?" And the Yamadutas were saying, "You fool, that was a lunch break. Now we have work to do." Like that. Or another version of the same story. It was an advertisement campaign. Now back to reality. Like that. So anyway, that the idea is, you know, that whatever's happening with everybody is that's the choice. You know, whether we believe it or not, but this is how things are working in this material world. Like that. So we'll read for a little while. It's going a little slow, but anyway. The living entity is wandering through these pieces and creating bodies according to his mentality in the present life. As you sow, so shall you reap. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that out of all these numberless living entities who are traveling in the material world, one is fortunate, not everyone. If everyone were fortunate, they would all have taken to Krishna consciousness. It is being distributed freely everywhere. But why are people not taking it? Because they are unfortunate. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that only those who are fortunate take to Krishna consciousness, and they get hopeful life, pleasant life, blissful life, a life of knowledge. It is the duty of a Vaishnava to go door to door to make the unfortunate people fortunate. Vaishnava thinks, how can these people be delivered from their hellish life? That was Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. Sir, he said, you have described that on account of one's sinful activities, one is put into a hellish condition of life or in a hellish planetary system. Now, what are the counter methods by which such persons can be saved? This is the question. When a Vaishnava comes, when God himself comes, or when God's son or his very confidential devotee come, their only mission is to save the sinful person who are suffering. They have knowledge of how to do this. When Prahlad Maharaj met Nrisingadev, he said, Naivat vijaya para duratyaya vaitaranyas tadvidya gayana mahamritam nachita swachetata vimukha chetasa indriyartha mayasukhaya varam udavata vimutham. My dear Lord, Prahlad says, I am not very anxious for my own deliverance. My body or impersonalist philosophers are very careful that their personal salvation is not interrupted. They think, if I go to preach in association with others, I may fall down and my realization will be finished. Therefore, they do not come. Only the Vaishnavas come at the risk of a fall down. But they do not fall down. They may even go to hell to deliver the conditioned souls. This is Prahlad Maharaj's mission. He says, Naivo Vijaya, I am not very anxious about living in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj says further, I have no anxiety for myself because somehow or other I have been trained to be always Krishna conscious. Because he is Krishna conscious, he is confident that in his next life he is going to Krishna. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that if one executes the Krishna conscious regulative principles carefully, it is certain that he will reach the supreme destination in his next life. Prahlad Maharaj continues, there is only one source of anxiety for me. Just see, although he had no anxiety for himself, he still had anxiety. He says, Shacheta tomi mukha chetasa. I am anxious for these persons who are not Krishna conscious. That is my anxiety for myself. I have no anxiety, but I am thinking of those who are not Krishna conscious. Why aren't they Krishna conscious? Maya sukhaya varam udvatomi udhan. These rascals have created a humbug civilization for temporary happiness. So, actually the main reason why Vaishnava is not bothered about his own salvation or liberation is what? Why he is not interested in his own liberation? Answer is very simple. because Vaishnava is already liberated. So if you're already liberated, why you should worry about liberation? It is like if you already eaten big feast, you know, will you be worried about eating? So in the same way, Krishna already gave so much freedom to his devotees, so therefore devotees are not bothered about their own freedom. But they actually feeling very much compassionate towards other people. And this compassion is very much different from mundane compassion, because you know, in the material world people are, you know, conducting different welfare programs. And it's not that this welfare program is completely useless, but it doesn't give real benefit. That Srila Prabhupada was giving very nice comparison. He was saying that it's like you have a boil, right? For example, you burnt yourself against whatever fire, oven, right? Those who cook, I'm sure you have this experience many times. And if you blow on the boil, you will feel, because of the cooling air, you will feel temporary relief like that. But soon as you finish blowing, you feel the pain again, right? So that mundane welfare work is something like blowing on the boil. So it gives temporary relief, but it doesn't really solve the problem, you know. And another example is like you have weeds, and you just, you know, instead of removing the roots of the weed, you just like cut the weed from the top, so it will grow again. So mundane welfare activity, therefore, because it provides only temporary solution from absolute point of view, it's not a solution. But if it is Krishna conscious welfare work, which is called para upakara. Upakara, in Bengali language, means welfare activity. Something you do to, give people, uplift people, help people. And paropakara means that you do it for other people outside of your, friends and relatives. And so Krishna consciousness is the topmost paropakara, topmost welfare activity for everybody like that. And so Prabhupada is giving the example of Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj was very heavily persecuted by his father. His father was trying to kill him. But when Nrsingadev finally killed Hiranyakashipu, his father, actually there is a very interesting kind of episode in that pastime, when it's all over and Prahlad Maharaj approached Nrsingadev, and Nrsingadev was, it's funny, but he felt a little guilty, because he just finished boy's father, right? And so he told Prahlad Maharaj, "I'm sorry, but I had to kill your father. Hope you will understand, the reason." And amazing that Prahlad Maharaj is saying that nobody is really sorry. I mean, I'm not worried because, when snake or scorpio is killed, nobody is, too much aggrieved, because these living entities, they cause so much trouble. He says even saintly persons, they don't feel, sorry for that. And but when Nrsingadev was asking what kind of blessing you want, then Prahlad Maharaj said, "I don't want anything for myself, but My father, I know that he did a lot of wrong things in his life, and probably he'll have to go to hell for a very long time. So if you could please excuse him and, you know, liberate him. And Shindelof said, no. Just due to your association, not only he is liberated, but all the generations, you know, many, many generations in the past and in the future, they're also liberated by your association. And so Vaishnavas are always, you know, thinking, you know, they're making plans, elaborate plans, how to deliver people in this world. And so, you know, just not to be too much theoretical, I'll tell you another story. How that's from Puranas, Vedic story, how one man, sinful man, was liberated by Narada Muni. I hope everybody knows who Narada Muni is. Yeah. Anybody doesn't know who Narada Muni is? Everyone knows. Okay. Anyway, Narada Muni is one of the liberated associates of the Lord. He's traveling all over the universe and he's chanting Hare Krishna also, but specifically he's chanting Radhika Ramana Radhe, or sometimes Narayan Narayan as well, like that. So he's chanting different names of the Lord and he's preaching and he's helping everybody in the universe to become liberated. So he's not only world traveler, and not only he is a universal traveler, but he is traveling throughout all the universes, going forth and back to material and spiritual world, you know, he's completely free like that, having spiritual body which doesn't have any problems at all, you know, hunger, thirst, fatigue, nothing affects him, and all his time he is spending chanting Lord's glories and liberating people. And he's the spiritual master of many, many great Vaishnavas, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, etc. But there was one king, very simple, and Narada Muni saw him and he was thinking, you know, how can I liberate this king? And then he decided, okay, let me try and preach to him, even though he's a little demoniac, but maybe that will, you know, give him some benefit. And so he appears in front of the king, and this king was like genuine demon, so he hated Vaishnavas. And Narada Muni said, you know, you're committing so much sinful activities, and you know, you should rather serve the Lord and stop your sinful activities. And this king became furious. He said, you know, who you are to advise me? And he pulled out his sword and he tried to, you know, kill Narada Muni. And so he tried to chop him in half with this sword like that. But because Narada Muni has spiritual body, this sword just went through him, you know, didn't bother him at all. And Narada Muni said, you know, you should not be actually doing these things. But I understand that now you won't accept, you know, what I'm saying. So just remember one thing, that in the worst situation you will get, just remember this one thing, just this one-liner. Association, no, what's that? Even a moment of association with the Vaishnava can give one highest spiritual benefit. And then Narada Muni disappeared. And King was puzzled what's going on. Anyway, he forgot it all very soon, so he carried on with his sinful life. And then he died, and of course he ended up in Yamaraja's court, and he was sentenced to go to hell. And Yamaraj, he was very, you know, he had very fierce look. You know, when he's dealing with sinful people, he becomes very, you know, scary, you know, he takes up this very scary appearance. And so this man, he was, you know, scared to death. And all of a sudden this, you know, incident popped up in his mind, you know, like this instruction from Narada Muni. And he, you know, shouted, you know, this line. Even the moment of association with saintly man will, you know, assure achievement of highest spiritual perfection. And Yamaraj was puzzled, you know, he was stunned. You know, this guy, this quote is from Bhakti Shastri, this quote is from devotional scripture, and this guy is, you know, pure demon. How does he know that? And then Yamaraj was asking, you know, where you have this information from? And, you know, he told the whole story, how Narada Muni appeared, and this is what he said. And Yamaraj was thinking, well, this is actually true, you know, this guy got Narada Muni's association. So, but, you know, if he will go to hell now, basically forever, then how he will get any, you know, spiritual benefit from that? He was a little puzzled. He couldn't resolve it himself, so he went to Lord Brahma, who is the boss in this universe. And Lord Brahma couldn't figure it out, so they went to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva could not figure it out too. And so he said the only person who can actually answer this question is the Supreme Lord himself, Narayan. And so they actually went to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan, and they took this guy with them. And so they came to Narayan and they said, you know, my dear Lord, we're very sorry, we bother you, but we, you know, really puzzled what to do in this, you know, situation, because this guy got association with Narada Muni, and so he's supposed to, you know, get high spiritual benefit. So, but, you know, for all his sins, he's supposed to go to hell. And, you know, could you please explain how he will get high spiritual benefit? And Lord Narayan, he started laughing and laughing, and he could not stop. And he said, this is how. You know, because you got puzzled, you had to come to me, to the spiritual world. And I actually promised in Bhagavad Gita, you can open it and have a look, that one who comes to the spiritual world will never return to the material world. And so this guy, he's already in the spiritual world. So, and therefore he will stay with me. But you boys, you have your job to do in the material world. So, you know, you go back to your offices and keep doing your job, you know. Narada Muni actually, you know, tricked all of us. So this is how this, you know, king got liberated, and by the mercy of Narada Muni. So this is how merciful Vaishnavas are. And we should serve all these merciful Vaishnavas, especially Srila Prabhupada, who mercifully liberated us all, and pray to him so that we could at one day develop qualities at least little bit similar to him, so that we could be useful in his mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Christmas ki jai, Vaishnavas ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Grace
Krishna Didi Prabhu ki.